I'm a sucker for milkshakes. And, you know, when you can take your dessert on the go and drink it, I don't know if that's a, I don't know if that's a good thing, man.
I love milkshakes. I just would rather the hard ice cream just in its natural
form. Oh, I love, I mean, I love a great hard ice cream sundae.
Start the timer. Welcome to Location Indie Podcast, behind the scenes, unfiltered, no holds barred. Look at the realities of the location independent lifestyle from two guys who are living that lifestyle. I'm Trav, and there's nothing better than a nice outdoor shower.
I'm Jason. We're the co-founders of the community Location Indie. I do not have an outdoor shower. It's snowing here right now. So there you go. You can learn
Nature's outdoor shower. It's not a shower, but yeah.
The morning sun on your face looks glorious.
It is very sunny here.
Too bad podcast.
I might get sunburned on one half of my face at this point.
Can you get sunburned through a window? I guess.
Why not? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they're probably not UV protected windows. I don't know.
I don't know.
You ever done? You have done this. I'm sure you've done this. Of all people, Jay, where you're on a road trip and you're driving, and let's say you're driving and you're in the U.S. So that would be your left arm that would be hanging out the window or on the windowsill, and you're driving with your right arm, and one arm gets sunburnt and the other doesn't. That's had to have happened to you. You've trekked over the country
Well, you know, it used to be my right arm when I was driving the double-decker bus, but that's another story.
Hopping the double-decker bus for a day or two so you even out the sunburns, yeah?
This is sort of a random way to start this podcast. Speaking of a random, we have a random show for you today. Now, in our community Location Indie, which if you haven't heard about it, I'd be surprised if you're listening to this podcast. We have all kinds of current and budding location independent entrepreneurs, digital nomads, you know, all of our peeps.
People who are taking the great resignation on head on.
Yes. There you go. We should actually do a separate episode on the great resignation. maybe some speculation on the great resignation. There we go. Coming up with titles on the fly here. Anyway, our community manager, Lynn, does a great job in the Mighty Network, which is the private social network where Location Indie, all the interaction takes place in addition to our events and everything. She does a great job of kind of creating these conversational prompts, these questions that are, you know, sometimes a little tough to answer. Yeah, Trev, I know you're like me in the sense that, you know, when you get asked these certain sort of travel-based questions or things, sometimes maybe you have a tendency to take them a little too seriously, right? Like if you do I just did a list episode on my podcast yesterday, and it was like, I know when I'm creating these list episodes, I'm just, you know, I'm like, what should this be number two, number one? Like anybody cares, right? I mean, yeah, but for me,
oh yeah,
I get into it.
Oh my gosh, I mean, it is. I think it's one of the more fun parts of doing list episodes is taking it serious or ranking things. You know, I love lists. I love ranking, and I think you're doing a disservice to a list or a ranking if you don't. If you don't stress out about it a little bit, I mean, because, you know, should Kazakhstan be ahead of Turkmenistan? These are questions that need to be answered and need to have some weight behind them.
Absolutely. We should give a shout out to your brother who has a great podcast title for his podcast. Dat's Rank, isn't it?
Yo, Dat's Rank.
Oh, Yo, Dat's Rank. Okay. Yo, Dat's Rank, where he ranks everything. Anyway, I think you've been on it, Trav, I'm sure. Anyway, so we have.
Yeah, we ranked Little Debbie's. We did a taste test, a blind taste test, not a blind. Nice. We did taste test of Little Debbie items to see how they matched up with what we thought we liked in childhood. No surprise. Hilarious. Nutty Buddies, definitely number one. Oatmeal cream.
Mine were the brownies. I had the brownies every day after school.
Cosmic brownies, pretty good. But did you have the ones with the little like fake M&Ms on them or the ones with the nuts on them?
Nuts.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Whatever, we're getting off track here, man. So I guess
it's a random episode.
It is random. And you know, these prompts are great. So I mean, it's not a list episode we're bringing you, but these questions that Lynn posts in the Money Network to kind of create some conversations. We can all get to know each other. They're the types of questions that, you know, you could take seriously. Like you do a list, like, oh, what, you know, like for example, the first one, we'll try to get through as many as we can of these in the next, you know, 15 and a half minutes. And I might as well start with number one here, Travis. And I don't have an answer to these. I literally just copied and pasted some of her recent prompts into our document that we could share and discuss. The first question is, what is the most beautiful beach you have ever set foot on? I mean, that's tough.
Okay. I'm right? I'm going to give you my, I love doing this when we do questions like this, your gut reaction. It's basically, I forget what someone else calls it. Your 1 second reaction, then your 60 second reaction. So 1 second is like what pops to your head right away. And here's what popped in my head right away, but I know it's not my final answer. Zlatni Rot in Croatia on the island of Bol. The reason it popped to my head is that it's always named the most beautiful beach in Europe and all this stuff. And it's, listen, it's awesome because it's the one that if you see from above, it kind of comes out to a point and it's got this long, thin, you know, white beach on both sides and it comes out to a point. My issue with Zlatni Rot. Now, listen. When I say issue, again, we're cutting hairs here, or not cutting hairs, splitting hairs. Is that it looks absolutely stunning from above. On it is cool too, but I think the beauty of it is like a drone footage, or I should say, you can actually walk up the cliff. This was why people probably love it too, because it's pretty accessible. When you go, before you go down to the beach, you are up above it and you get to see it from up above for the first time. So it is stunning. Insider note, Jay, on the right of it, if you're looking from above, on the right of it is actually a nude beach that not many people know about. It's like hidden in a little cove. So I had not partaken in going down to the nude beach, but I did see people down there. I heard it was a nude beach. They were nude. So I was like, oh, this checks out. So Zlatni Rot, my like gut reaction. What's yours? Like the first thing that comes to mind when you hear it.
So I hope I'm getting the name of the beach right, but there's an island in Brazil called Ilha Grande. And there's a beach that you can hike to, and it's called I can't speak Portuguese, but it's Praia Lopes Mendes. I'm sure some people listening have been there. It's a 3-hour, 6-kilometer trek that starts sort of on the main section town of that area. And then you have to hike to this beach. And when you get there, I don't know, there's something about, you could take a boat there, I guess, and stuff, but what, something about hiking through the jungle for 3 hours and kind of earning your stripes before you get to the beach, getting there and just being at this beautiful beach in Brazil. It's just gorgeous, you know, the jungle and the white sands and
waves. When you talk about beaches, this is one of the hardest things for me to rank because I've had the good fortune of going to a lot of beaches, and like anything, they're all different. It really is the experience. The one that comes to my head is a 60 second answer, and this is a bad answer because I don't know the name of it, and this is maybe why I loved it. When Heather and I were in Corsica, a little island between France and Italy and north of Sardinia, and we were just driving around and someone had mentioned going to this amazing beach. I'm like, well, how are we going to find it? And they're like, oh, you'll just know. And so we came up to this, there was just cars parked everywhere along the side, and these roads are super rural. There's no one around. So like, well, we should park, I guess, and then just look for a little trailhead down to a beach. And sure enough, we parked, looked for a little trailhead, found one, went down, and it was just like, it, you know, you kind of like go, like you say, like going through the jungle. Now it was not a 3-hour trek. It was like a, you know, 5-minute trek from the road or whatever, but you're like going down through this little like jungly area. You're like, well, I guess it's going to come out to the beach. Probably it feels like we're going towards a beach, and then boom, there you are. And it's just white sand and people everywhere, but still like remote enough that even though there's a lot of people, it was big enough that there was plenty of space for everyone. Yeah. That was cool because we hadn't seen it in any tour books or anything like that. It was just someone saying like, you'll know. And we knew.
Yeah. And that's, that's always the best, right? I remember riding bikes with my wife in Hoi An, Vietnam, and there's a beach that a lot of people ride to. And, you know, one general travel rule, I think, of thumb is if you want to get off the beaten path, just go a little further than everybody else is willing to, right? So we just kept pedaling further down, and then we got to a nice beach that, well, I'm not going to say it was the best beach I ever set foot on, but we got to a beach where there was like three people on it instead of 150, you know? And that's always a nice thing to come to a beach where it's just kind of quiet and only a few people. And I have another answer to that question, I guess, that I would have to throw out there, which will sound funny to people, but I'm just going to put it out there anyway. The Jersey Shore, man. I mean, you know, just so many good memories growing up. And I just want to tie this up by saying, kind of reiterating what you said at the beginning of this conversation, which is it's really about the experience, right? So beauty is in the eye of the beholder, all that. I mean, I think we know when we set foot on a white sand beach with crystal clear water, I think generally people see that as, oh, this is so beautiful, right? But
yep.
Then the real beauty comes in the experiences and the memories and the people you're with and all that. So just a lot of good memories at the Jersey Shore with friends, with family. So in that way, maybe not, you know, the most beautiful shore, especially when I was a child, you know, you had to watch out for those hypodermic needles occasionally.
But. Well, I just looked this up. I did find the one in Corsica, Palombagia. I knew if I saw the word, it was like a long word. I think you make a good point that memories are made at the beach, right? For a lot of people, memories are made by travel overall, but I think the beach for a lot of people, if you grew up going to the beach, holds that special allure, right? Of childhood memories. And this is our vacation. And I thought I'd get some flack, but I love the beaches down in Florida for the same reason, especially ones on the Gulf Coast. And you and I spent some time down in Tarpon Springs, down in St. Pete. Yeah. And it's super accessible for me where I live. So I'm really excited to go back down to the Gulf Coast of Florida and go to some of those beaches because you get the white sand.
Side note, we also started the community location Indy at the Jersey Shore.
In winter.
We did a whole episode on it. If you want to dig into the archives, you can find that. I can't remember what the name of that one was called, but anyway. All right. Let's go to the next prompt here. What would you eat all the time if you could?
Pizza.
I mean, pizza.
Yeah.
Right?
You
have to say anything else?
I mean, that's my one second answer. I have started to become much more of a sweets person as I get older, which is probably not a good thing. If I could eat. Yeah. Oh, holding up some salted caramel chocolate. If I could eat dessert, and I know that's a big category, but even if I'll cut it down, ice cream. There's probably never a night where I wouldn't want to eat ice cream. I don't all the time. I think cheesecake is another one. Like, I doubt there's ever a time someone's like, hey, we got some cheesecake. I'd be like, nah, I'm not feeling that. So, yeah. But if we're talking food, like pizza, man.
Yeah. My gut reaction was pizza as well. You know, the most dangerous dessert out there, in my opinion, at least for me, and in general, I think is a milkshake. I'm a sucker for milkshakes. And, you know, when you can take your dessert on the go and drink it, I don't know if that's a good thing, man.
I love milkshakes. I just would rather the hard ice cream just in its natural
form. I love a great hard ice cream sundae. Anyway, all right, we'll move on. Where have you never been yet, but have always wanted to go?
The stands, all through Central Asia.
Yeah.
I have this dream of like doing a horseback riding trip because I knew an Israeli friend who did that through Kazakhstan, but I don't like horse riding. It does seem like an awesome way to adventure through that area. But yeah.
Yeah. For me, well, that could certainly be, I mean, there are a lot of answers, but my sort of gut reaction is New Zealand. I've always wanted to do the camper van New Zealand thing because you can just multi-sport it, you know, you can sleep in the van.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can meet some cool people. It just seems like a really cool, chill thing. And also you're so far away, so many time zones away. I feel it almost feels like you're just getting away from it all in a, in an extra special way.
Very, very high on my list. Here's two others that come to mind. Trans-Siberian Railroad, because it just seems accessible, meaning like, okay, I could say Antarctica and things like that, which I would definitely want to go to. But Trans-Siberian seems like, okay, well, I could do this. Like, I could just fly over. I mean, it's running all the time. I just fly over and hop on it if I wanted. I mean, ultimately, it's not that hard, right? And also down in Buenos Aires, I've always wanted to go to Argentina, and we've never even touched South America yet. So those are two other that stick out in my head.
The adventure continent is what I call it anyway. Yeah. The stands could be for me for sure. And gosh, so many places, man. You know, I haven't been to Laos, and I always have wanted to go and do a Mekong River type of trip. So plenty of islands too. Anyway, we'll move on from this, because this question could be a whole entire podcast. In fact, I think I've done one on it, but
we do it every year. Yeah. Heather and I do this exact podcast, our 2021 or 2022 travel wish list. And it's like, they different ones come and go, which I think is fun about travel, right? New Zealand has always been on the list. It's always been near the top, right? But different ones come and go and fall off here and there. But every year we do this exact same podcast. Like, basically, where would you go? If you go somewhere right now, where would you go?
Okay. We have some business ones. Maybe we should get into those.
Dive in.
What is the first word you want your customers to think of when they see your brand? Talk about Location Indie here.
Okay, my gut reaction, the first word that popped in my head was fun. Very quickly after that word was the word freedom, lifestyle. I mean, we say lifestyle freedom, like that's what we're helping people create. So I think if from a quote unquote marketing perspective or a branding perspective, if lifestyle and freedom came into their mind, that'd be great, because that's what we're helping people achieve, lifestyle freedom. But as a brand, I want people to see it as being fun, because I mean, it would be hard to have a lifestyle freedom brand that isn't fun, but that's because that's our personality. It could be like very nuts and bolts, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. I want people to be like, the reason I'm building these businesses and this lifestyle freedom is because I want to experience life, right? Like, and have fun with life and enjoy life.
Yeah, I love that. Mine is community, because that's such a strong element of what we do. All the things you said combined with community, I think, is what makes Location Indie special and our Lifestyle Launch Academy, because people go through these things together. They help each other build their businesses. They help each other. They just support each other. They meet up. I mean, I just got off with one of our community members who's going to Portugal on Saturday, and she's meeting up with like two other community members. It's just like, things are just happening. People are meeting up, and you can build a business, you can do all these things, but there's something special about getting to do it with other like-minded, cool people. So
the most joy I get from anything that we do is when we hear stories of people meeting up in person, forming friendships. We have people who are now in long-term relationships who met inside of LI. I don't know if they'll get married they've traveled together for 4 years. They've been together forever. We have people who have made lifelong friends, who have some of their closest friends that they met in our community. We saw that play itself out in person when we were at Camp Indy this year. That's the best part of everything we do, is seeing those connections being made.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's why, you know, the online events we do, and of course the live events when we have them, are the best part of it, really. I mean, the private social network where you can interact and answer these questions and talk is a great way to kind of get to know people. But then when you can make those connections, you know, off of just the platform and see the face and hear the voice and have the chats, it's great. What's the best? Let's see. All right. Here's a question we ask everybody when they join. I know we only have 45 seconds left. We're going to cover two more questions here in the show.
Not in 45 seconds.
Not in 45 seconds. What's your biggest challenge right now when it comes to location independence? This is a question that we ask when people join because it's a great question that applies to anybody, right? Whether you're location independent or not, people that are working towards it might be answering this question differently than people that have been on the path for a while or not. You know, it's really interesting to see the answers that come in to this question. And for you right now, what's the biggest challenge?
First word that came to mind, one second answer was scaling.
Yeah.
How to take what we've been doing, which has not been by ourselves. You all know we have a team behind us, but take what we've been doing and doing it at a certain level and then biggie sizing that and doing it to a 10x level. For the impact that we could have, and also for the impact for ourselves, for our life, for our community, for the people coming in. I mean, if we could 10x what we're doing and get 10 times more people to a lifestyle of freedom, I mean, think of the ripple effect that has. So, it would also have obviously an effect on our lives too. You know, we'd be at a point where the business would be making much more money. We'd be able to do some things that we haven't been able to do because we just don't have the capital to be able to do them. So scaling was my first answer. Right behind that was this idea of shiny object syndrome, which I think then leads to the word focus. And okay, scale. And I think that's
why it all goes back to scale, right?
Yeah. Well, scaling takes focus, right? You will not scale if you don't focus on scaling and focus on the things you need to do to scale, which is usually stuff that you haven't had to do to get to the level that you're at. I think that's why scaling is so difficult for certain personalities like you and I, because the stuff that you've done before, you have to keep doing that and keep doing it well. But you have to then introduce a whole nother subset of skills that get your business to that next level. And you have to focus on those. And I have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, I agree with scaling. That was the answer. And I don't want to belabor it because you said everything that needed to be said around that. I do think it's a difficult thing. You want to make a bigger impact. You want to serve more people. And then you want to do it in a way where it still can be personal for everybody. So we have a great plan and we're working on it, but because we're in that sort of mode to try to make a bigger impact, it means that we may be getting our hands more dirty a little bit right now so that we can, so we're working maybe more in the business than on the business than we should be. But we know that after, maybe 2 or 3 months, we'll be able to kind of pull back. And then, I think we all have our dream. Like I love doing this podcast, right? So there are a lot of things I'd like to bring to this podcast and different things like that. But, we're so kind of entrenched in trying to figure out the scaling thing that it takes us away from some of the creative type of work we like to do. So it's, it's a challenge all around. And like I said, I think one of the biggest things I wanted to bring up in terms of this question was just a reminder to everybody that don't look at people on the internet or, in the news or whatever. You read these articles on these websites
Business Insider and Forbes. It's all clickbaity.
And makes, $100,000 a month. And they do paint the real picture in a sense when you actually read the article. But at the same time, it's like everybody has challenges no matter what. And all of us here want to build a certain lifestyle. And it's not just like you build it and then you have the business and it fits perfect and you never have to tweak anything. Because like I said, everybody can answer this question at any day. You could have a challenge when it comes to kind of keeping things going or whatever. So it applies to everybody, no matter where you are in your journey. And I love that.
Are you saying that the Business Insider clickbaity stories that I click on every single time don't really give you a behind the scenes, unfiltered, no holds barred look at the realities? That lifestyle?
How deep do you go in 1,000 words, right? I don't know. That's why podcasting is my preferred medium. Get the real story. Sure. Okay. Who is the most interesting person you've ever met on your travels? We'll wrap it up with this one. This is a hard one, man. I didn't even have a chance to think about this question and I have no gut reaction. I have like a whole montage of characters coming across my brain. I wish I could wrap it all in like this very you know, concise, sort of snappy, engaging story for about one person, but nothing, man, nothing's, everything's coming to mind. Therefore nothing's coming to mind.
I agree. Like I just had seven names come to my head, but like every, but they were all right. I'll give it. The gut reaction I had was a driver that I've had that I had in CM Reap named Bunty, who is a family friend now. He's awesome. He's amazing. He was quote unquote just our driver at first in CM Reap, and then he turned into so much more than that. But I would not say that he's the most interesting. Like, is he the nicest, kindest human I've ever met? Yes. Is he the exact reason why I wanted to start a travel site so that I could share people like that to other people who are then traveling? And so the traveler's trip could be better and Bunty's life could be better because he would have customers rain down on him. Yes. Did that happen? Yes. That was probably one of the most proudest moments I've had as a travel blogger, is the fact that people still use him as a driver and he's been able to like buy other vehicles and employ his friends and send his kids to English school and all that. So super proud of that. Interesting though is, and that's just the first thing that came to my head because he sticks out in my travels. Interesting is one I'm going to have to think on while you give your,
yeah, well, all right.
Got
so
thought.
I have a lot of stories from many years of travel, and that's why I kind of have to narrow it down and just go with the most interesting person I've met during my travels. And I have, you know, again, like
I have mine. Go ahead.
Pretty limited travels recently, but we did go back to the United States for our Camp Indy event, and our community member, E-Paul, he is an interesting dude. I mean, the guy has got, if you're listening, Paul, we love you, man. He's got all kinds of crazy stories. Like, you know, you think I've had a lot of random jobs. I mean, he's, you know, he's worked at these Renaissance festivals. He, you know, he plays the ukulele.
He's a gem carver.
Yeah, he's a gem carver. He works as a tour guide in Napa Valley. Like, he's just like, no matter what you say, the dude has some kind of interesting fact or something or some kind of personal story to share. And then it's not just that he has it to share, it's that it's like a whole story, you know, that's well told and engaging.
He's a very good storyteller.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a huge part of it too, right? And it just seems like he's done a lot of interesting things in his life, and it just never ceased to surprise me when I'd bring something up and he would just all of a sudden come with a story, and they were great. So anyway, shout out to you, E-Paul.
From the moment that he first joined the community, I was intrigued because I'm like, huh, I think he hit E when he was putting his name in. Like, I thought his name was Paul. And so I'm like, yeah, I had never heard the name E-Paul. So I was like, oh, is it Paul? He's like, no, it's E-Paul. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a story in and of itself. Like, what's the origin of that name? Which I still don't know. So that's a question we have to ask on our next call. Yeah, I am with you. He's an awesome storyteller, and he has a story for every single situation. And every time you talk to him, you learn another, at least one job that he's had. He's been everywhere in the U.S., just like you, Jay. I think he used to be maybe a truck driver or a transportation manager or something.
Yeah, that was another new thing. I saw him post something that he might go back to, you know, being a truck. I was like, you were a truck driver again. You know?
Yeah. So
continuing to surprise and delight.
E-Paul's a great one. I'll give you mine. There's a guy named Dr. Ho who lives outside. He's in China. He lives outside of Lijiang, was it? He's just like, oh, I just saw that he died. Well, 2018. But after I talked to him, yeah, he lives in Southwest China. Someone had told me about Dr. Ho. I think he was in one of the guidebooks, right? And I'm like, well, where is this guy, right? And we just took this bike trip outside of this town that we were in. And we're going down this dirt path, and we get to this like really small village outside of the town. We're just biking around. And I was like, well, someone told me that this is where he lives. And then I pass like a wooden house by a stream, and it just has like huge blown up copies of like all these newspaper articles as the wall, like the outside wall. And it's all these newspaper articles about this guy named Dr. Ho. And I was like, okay. And he's just this he's a Chinese medicine doctor. And I thought, okay, so I'm like knocking on the door and no one's answering. I'm like, okay, this has to be where this guy lives, right? So I like slide the front door open. I walk in, hey, hello, you know, whatever. And true to form, this guy comes rumbling out, you know, it's like a movie, like rumbling out of the depths of his house, down a ladder, holding like random jars of stuff. He's like, you know, can I help you? In a really thick in English, but a little bit hard to understand. And I'm like, I'm looking for Dr. Ho. And I had to be him. He was like 90 at that point, big wizened like beard. I'm just like, this is a movie. I'm in a movie. And, you know, I'm talking to him. I said, hey, I'm shooting a little video. Would love to talk to you. And he starts talking. I film him on video. He talks to me about how he's very strong because he drinks this medicine. So he makes me drink this medicine. No idea what it is. Then he makes me touch his skin. And he's like, it's buttery soft. Yeah, I just remember the word buttery, which I thought was awesome. And I touch his skin. I'm like, it is buttery soft, you know? Yeah. And so we just have this 20, 30 minute conversation of Dr. Ho being very strong with buttery soft skin. And it was pretty incredible, man. It was like finding a real life, like I said, movie character.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
In the middle of nowhere, China. So
RIP Dr. Ho. Sorry.
RIP Dr. Ho.
Really cool guy. Well, listen, if you want to be a part of these types of conversations, and of course the more than that, right? The support, the online events, all the good stuff that comes with a community when you're trying to build something and sustain something like a location-dependent business, entrepreneurship, travel, creating that whole lifestyle freedom. Not an easy thing to pull off all the time, and it really helps to have a community that gets your back. So go to locationindie.com and be a part of the conversation. Join up. You can. We're not always open, and you know, it's one of those things where we like to bring in groups of people, but if you can sign up for the newsletter, just do that. It's free. You'll get all the updates. You'll hear what's going on in the community, learn more about it, and then you can stay in touch with us off the podcast. So, Trav, that was fun, man. We haven't done a random sort of episode like this. Not super random, but sort of quasi-random.
Yeah, I love
it. Shout out to Lynn, our community manager, for the, you know, for these great prompts that gave us a fun episode to record here.
For sure. More random episodes. And remember, community is the best part of all of this, of this entire journey. So come check it out, locationindie.com.
We'll see you next time. Cheers.